Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So, I go back to Amazon illegally firing a couple of workers. And finally, a National Labor Relations Board who's come forth and said, yes, you illegally fired them. Now what we need to make sure we do is hold these employers accountable when they do illegally fire people. Put real consequences instead of just a slap on the wrist and say, oh, don't do it again. Post a notice and back pay minus whatever it is they earned. It's insane. It's crazy. But, you know, it's something that sadly has been allowed to happen. And one of these cases just across my desk is at Collin College in Texas. Evidently, two professors decided that, hey, we need to have a voice on the job because, well, we need to be safe. COVID's here. We need some protection. We need some say. And the day that they were going to have their recruitment meeting, the college decided, no, we don't need you anymore, and fired them. Now, they're saying, no, we didn't fire them. We just didn't renew their contracts. And I'm trying to figure out what the difference is, and here to share some thoughts on maybe there is a difference. I've asked Dr. Susan Jones to come talk with us. Suzanne Jones to come talk with us. She's a professor of education at Collin College, and also Professor Audra Heslip. She's a professor of humanities there at the college. Ladies, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
So we still don't have Audra's audio. I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the fact that you guys were putting together, a bargaining unit, trying to organize a union, and on the day you were going to have your meeting, they decided to just can you. Am I getting that right, Dr. Jones?
I don't know.
So did I get you? Am I getting that right, Dr. Jones?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we could hear you. Yes. So we have a local chapter of the Texas Faculty Association, which is under the NEA. It's the higher ed branch of basically the NEA and Texas State Teachers Association. And our local chapter had been organizing all fall. And the day that we had our first recruitment meeting, they called both of us in and terminated us. We had been at the college long enough that even though we don't have tenure at a community college, we still have, it's basically considered tenure. We have multi-year contracts that roll over, and we had already been approved for our multi-year contract by all of our dean, associate dean, provost, everybody. So it was a shock.
So this has everything to do, in your opinion, with the fact that you were trying to form a union. Is that right?
Yes. They named that in my termination. They said that I had Collin College listed on the Texas Faculty Association website, and that was not the appropriate use of college. That they thought that I was trying to act as a college representative for Texas Faculty Association, which no reasonable person believes that when something is on a website that you automatically speak for the college. Also, I don't control the website for Texas Faculty Association. It's a state website, and I am on the state board, but I have nothing. They have an office in Austin that takes care of that.
All right. And Audra, is the same position for you? I mean, is this what happened to you? Evidently we've missed. We've missed Audra again, the audio problems there. So let's go back. Let me just focus on you, Dr. Jones, because, the reality is what's happened in this country is workers have been under attack for a very long time. And just the mere threat of someone saying, I want to have a voice, I want to organize, met with the exact kind of situation that you've run into. Because you have a stellar record, as I understand, never really had any complaints, never had any problems. You were doing your job, except you just had the audacity to say, I'd like to be protected, please.
Right. Both Audra and I have excellent appraisals and student evals. They couldn't find any reason there to let us go. So they chose challenging the reopening plan and the situation with the Texas Faculty Association website as my two reasons. The only warning or discipline I've ever had, it wasn't really discipline, it was just a warning, is in 2017, I signed an open letter to the Dallas City Council about removing some Confederate monuments. And they just told me not to sign it with my title anymore. I signed it Dr. Suzanne Jones Collin College. And so I haven't done that ever again. But they tried to act like that was my first warning and this was my second strike kind of thing.
So, you know, and how long ago was that?
That was 2017.
So that's kind of a long time to have something stay with you in any employment situation.
And there was nothing, I mean, there's nothing in my personnel records that even show that that was a problem. They actually went back and printed out the email thread from 2017, the day they found out about our Collin TFA chapter, the day we announced it to our faculty council at the college, that they went back that day, printed it, scanned it, there's a timestamp on it, and they put it in my personnel file that day.
So let me ask you, you know, what made you say, you know, we need union protection? What made you in a right to work state like Texas? What made you go, hey, the union can help me?
Well, I'm an education professor and I've been involved with TSTA my whole life, adult life. And so I've been on the state board and I just had told my colleagues about TFA. And once when we were in the middle of the reopening plan and faculty had no input in the reopening, several people decided to join, and suddenly we had enough to form a local chapter. And so we did it in the midst of the college reopening. That necessarily wasn't what we were focusing on. In fact, the only thing we had done at that point when Audra and I were non-renewed is we had started a student scholarship. Besides that, we really hadn't done anything else at that point. We were trying to grow the chapter. And then we were going to advocate for issues that faculty cared about.
Now, as I understand, I've read a couple of stories that I found just each one more shocking than the next. The college actually told you guys, the professors, the staff, that they couldn't mandate people wear masks in the classroom. Is that accurate?
Yes, that was in the summer when we first started talking about coming back in July, because summer school was going to come back face-to-face in July. And Governor Abbott had not put in effect a mask mandate at that time. So Audra was the one who wrote a white paper that circulated the college, and a third of our full-time faculty signed the white paper. And so by the time that we advocated for masks along with faculty input on other things, and by the time we passed it through our faculty council, Governor Abbott had put in effect a mask mandate. So I can't necessarily say that we pushed for that and got it, but it definitely wasn't happening at the beginning.
But this is one of those things where, you know, you go, shouldn't you have the control of your classroom to mandate what you need within your classroom? Especially because I was reading another story where a colleague, an older colleague came back out of retirement to teach home health care aides, contracted COVID and ended up dying. And you go, you know, this is one of those moments where you go, as a worker, and I don't care what you do, you have a colleague who dies from a disease. You're kind of thinking about, how do I protect myself?
Right. Absolutely. And that's why we wanted input. And it wasn't the president is trying to make it out to be like we were asking for all classes to go online. And that wasn't it at all. The idea was that if your class could go online easily, that you might be allowed to do that or maybe given a choice in some way. But the classes that couldn't go online could certainly be in person, and that would make everybody safer. But yes, we definitely were concerned about all kinds of issues. But pedagogically, we should be consulted in how to teach our classes effectively.
That's an interesting word for those of us who aren't way up there in the doctoral portion of the world. Explain that word.
That's just basically the way we structure our teaching environment.
Right. And look, you should have control over your workspace. And that's something that I say for all working people. You should have some measure of control, especially when you're talking about safety on the job. Now, what I find interesting is the timing. On the day that you guys are having this recruitment, that's the day they said, we're gonna roll this out. And I find it interesting that they, well, we didn't fire you, Dr. Jones. We just decided we're not going to talk to you again. We're not going to renew your contract, which is a nice way of saying you're fired, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Audra said in slow motion over 4 months. It's been a nightmare ever since. And you can non-renew somebody for any reason in Texas, but not an illegal reason. So if our reasons have to do with speaking out about public health safety measures or organizing efforts, then those are illegal reasons because they are protected rights. And that is why this is such a huge issue across the country. People have reached out to us to say we're worried about the precedent that this sets.
No, I mean, it sets a huge precedent because, you know, ultimately you're an at-will employee is what they're saying. And contracts, you know, don't really matter. You're an at-will employee. You know, when we're done with you, to the curb. And again, the whole idea of joining and forming a union is to end that at-will kind of scenario, and where you can only be fired for just cause. Look, I look at educators are supposed to have some academic freedom to be able to push the boundaries, to be able to do things that are going to educate the young people into doing things that are going to make their lives better. And I think, you know, a union is one of those things that every person should learn about. So the lesson that you're teaching, I think, is huge, but you're paying a penalty for it. So let me ask you this, because you're in this moment, where do you see this going?
Well, we are in the middle of a grievance process right now, and we're asking to be reinstated. If we were to get reinstated, it would go a long way in healing some of the division between faculty and administration at our college. And so we're hoping for that. If that does not pan out, then we'll have to explore other options. But we feel adamantly about our case and how our right to organize. And we, you know, I am the advisor for the student TSTA Association. So we have students on campus that are part of the same umbrella. And that was never a problem. It was only a problem once we started organizing. But those students have been showing up at board meetings and giving public statements and asking how they can be a part of a teaching organization when they watch their teacher be fired for that. So this is having an impact on the students. All the faculty are scared silent. Well, many of the faculty, I should say, are scared silent. And so it's a pretty scary environment.
And this is the reason that companies like Amazon do this, where they choose the most vocal people and they fire them in a very public way to send a message to everyone else. And it's a chilling effect across the workspace. And I find it interesting that the guy who leads your college use the word Amazonification, which is a new word. He created something, the Amazonification of higher education, which is basically higher education is just like a commodity you can buy online. And it doesn't really mean much. And to me, this is the problem with higher ed as a whole. It's no longer about creating, you know, good, solid thinking, civic minded human beings. It's about, well, just keeping people in class, whether you can read, write, do the work or not. It's about just getting the tuition and keeping that machine rolling instead of educating.
Right. And if you have faculty that are censoring themselves in class and can't speak freely and teach freely, that's just not what we think of as higher education. And so it's going to have an impact overall. I think that our president might not value scholarly work or opinions necessarily. And so that Amazonification idea is that maybe we have different levels of professors and we kind of push students through the process like a degree factory of some sort. That's how I've heard it described in the past. But
Diploma Mill is another one. Setting. You know, they used to use in the old days, especially about Southern universities. But you're a public university, you're a public college. And, you know, kind of doing the stuff that I would expect from the predatory for-profit, you know, those ones we all know the names, who, you know, take a lot of GI money, take a lot of, you know, student loan money, but don't really do a really good job of educating people. It sounds like, you know, that's filtered down to the public community college level.
Absolutely. And now faculty, I mean, aren't coming forward. They don't want to join. They don't want to speak up. We've endorsed some board candidates for our May 1st election, and faculty have literally asked how they can donate money to the candidates without it being tracked, because they are afraid they will get fired for donating to candidates that are opposing the incumbents who are on board with our president.
See, right here, you know, I started off talking about the PRO Act and how important it is right now that we need major comprehensive labor law reform in this country to deal with things that you're going through right now. The fact that you were in the process of forming a union is concerted protected activity, and there's no way you should be fired for that. But sadly, our laws are so badly broken and ossificated that we're almost helpless. These Amazon workers who got their jobs back after a year, the NLRB finally said, "Oh yeah, it's illegal firing." Right. After a year.
Right. Right. And I mean, my gosh, I wish we were able to be under the NLRB as well. But yeah, we don't have many protections, especially in Texas.
And especially in Texas, a right to work state and in an industry, education, that is a public sector industry, where we have national right to work, or as I put it, national no rights at work. Because sadly, it sounds like you don't have any rights at all. So let me ask you, what are you hoping for? How can we help? What's the message going forward for you guys?
You know, we had a big letter writing campaign to the board at one point, but now we are on their radar. I think at this point, just sharing media, sharing stories, because that puts a little pressure on the board to react to the negative talk out there about our college. So the more we can circulate that, might pressure the board to act on our case. That's all we want them to do. I had never spoken to the media prior to being terminated. So I think that's important to note as well. You know, I'm sure that they would like to make us out to be troublemakers in some way, but we really were always following the rules. For 20 years, I've been there following the rules. And I really think that's the only thing at this point we can do. Our contracts are up in a month. So we're hoping, praying that the board will step in and overturn the president's decision. All the grievance process, I guess, could go our way. We don't know what to think about that. So we're still waiting on that ruling as well.
Well, I hope as this continues down the road, I hope you guys will come back and share some of what's going on and keep us up to date on what's going on. Because this is sadly, you know, you're not unique. This happens all over the country to too many workers. And this is why we need, as I've been saying, comprehensive major labor law reform in this country. But Dr. Jones, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.